And they say, these animals and crops are forbidden. No one may eat from them except whom we will, by their claim. And there are those camels whose backs are forbidden by them, and those upon which the name of Allah is not mentioned. So all their self-made laws are being refuted over here. All of this, Allah says, is an invention of untruth about Allah. Meaning they make these things up in the name of religion and they say, oh, we please God through this. And likewise, in Islam also, so many things have been invented. And when people practice them, they say that they're doing it to please Allah. What's the evidence that Allah will be pleased through that? He will punish them for what they were inventing. سَيَجْزِيهِمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ Remember, inventing something in the religion is a crime. It's a crime, it's a sin. Because then a person is ascribing a lie to Allah. He's saying Allah ordered this, whereas Allah did not order that. And they say, what is in the bellies of these animals is exclusively for our males and forbidden to our females. Again, a self-made law. But if it is born dead, then all of them have shares therein. He will punish them for their description. Indeed, He is wise and knowing. Those will have lust who kill their children in foolishness without knowledge and prohibited what Allah had provided for them, inventing untruth about Allah. They have gone astray and were not rightly guided. They have gone astray by inventing these things, by just following their forefathers in this error blindly. Allah says they will suffer loss. They have suffered loss already. And He it is who causes gardens to grow, both trellised and untrellised, and palm trees and crops of different kinds of food, and olives and pomegranates, similar and dissimilar. Look at the variety of what Allah has created. In the previous juz also we learned about many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with. And we are encouraged to reflect on these things. That if we want to learn about Allah, what is it that we need to do? Reflect on His names and attributes, and secondly, reflect on His creation also. So over here we're being taught to reflect on these things that Allah has created. Allah has caused gardens to grow, different types of gardens, trellised and untrellised. Meaning plants that grow, that climb, and other plants that don't climb. Vines and also plants that are like trees and palm trees. You know how big the seed of a palm tree can be? Do you have any idea? It can be the same weight as that of a fourth grader. This big. This big. It can be the same weight as that of a child in grade 4. It's that heavy. Huge. Black. Huge. Solid. Dense. That is the seed of a palm tree. I'm not making this up. You can Google it if you want. Okay. So, Allah has made these trees grow. And crops of different kinds of food. And olives and pomegranates. They're similar yet dissimilar. Eat of each of its fruit when it yields, and also give its due, meaning give the zakat, give some charity out of it on the day of its harvest, and be not excessive. Don't be excessive in consuming it. Be moderate. Indeed, He does not like those who commit excess. And of the grazing livestock are carriers of burdens, and those too small. Eat of what Allah has provided for you, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. They are eight mates, meaning these animals that Allah has made halal for us, these are eight mates. Of the sheep too, and of the goats too. Say, is it the two males He has forbidden, or the two females, or that which the wombs of the two females contain? Inform me with knowledge, if you should be truthful. Again, the false beliefs of the people are being refuted. And this shows to us again, that no matter how common something has become in a society, just because everybody is doing something, it doesn't make it right. Because these things have become very common in the mushrik society. They took it as part of the law of Allah. They forbade the female and they allowed the male animal. Or they said, no, only the fat, or only this part, or only that part. They had made all of these things up. And they had become widespread. But Allah is refuting all of these claims, all of these self-made laws in the deen. You know, every time I read these ayat, I wonder, these practices are nowhere to be found today. But so much of the Quran has been dedicated to this. I mean, if you think about it, so much of the Qur'an has been dedicated to this, right? So many ayat, these ayat could have been about something else. But Allah made this a part of the Qur'an. Why? Because Allah is teaching us that even if falsehood, false beliefs, false practices have entered the mainstream, they have become common. They are accepted as truths. They are accepted as acts of righteousness. They are not righteous if Allah does not say so. If Allah does not say so. Inform me with knowledge if you should be truthful. And of the camels too, and of the cattle too. Say, is it the two males that he has forbidden, or the two females, or that which the wombs of the two females contain? Or were you witnesses when Allah charged you with this? Then who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah to mislead people by something other than knowledge? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Say, I do not find within that which was revealed to me anything forbidden to one who would eat it, unless it be a dead animal. So many things people have made up in the name of piety. Oh, this is not allowed, this is not allowed, this is not allowed. But Allah says, tell them, it is only these things which are not allowed. The deen is not as hard as people have made it to seem. So I do not find within that which was revealed to me anything forbidden to one who would eat it, unless it be, what? A dead animal. Or blood that is spilled out. Or the flesh of swine. For indeed it is impure. Or it be that slaughtered in disobedience, dedicated to other than Allah. But whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limit, then indeed your Lord is forgiving and merciful. What do we see here? That haram cannot be eaten except in the state of starvation. And even in that, a person should not become an addict of it. You see, the things that Allah has forbidden, they are haram. We cannot touch them. We cannot go near them. But yes, there are certain situations in which a person does not have much choice. The only option he has is that which is haram. So even in that situation, what should he do? Take only as much as will save his life. You understand? And any time we find ourselves in a situation like this, that, oh, this is a haram option, should I even consider it or not? Think of it as this, that haram is only allowed for the person who is at the verge of dying. You understand? Who is at the verge of dying? Meaning if he does not eat the haram food, he is going to die. He doesn't have an option. So for me, if I leave this haram alone, am I going to die? Am I going to die? You know the answer. Because generally what happens? People have made it lawful, saying that you have darura. Well, darura, need, necessity, is not that your stomach is full, and you just have this urge that, oh, the whole world is eating haram food, why can I not eat it? That is not darura. Darura is that you're at the verge of collapsing. You're starving. If you don't put that one bite in your mouth, you're going to die. So in that case, only one bite is allowed. Not that a person gets a house of 3,000 square feet on haram loan saying it is darura. Think about it. Would we ever... You know, because when it comes to pork, this, the word pork, people find it very offensive. You know, you say pig and they're like, right? They don't even like to look at a pig or say the word pig or say the word pork or look at pork. I don't know what it is, but it's haram, right? But it's so dirty that you don't even want to think about it. Anything that Allah has made unlawful and you're being attracted to it, think of the pig. Okay? Think of the pig. That just as the pig is unlawful, likewise this haram money is unlawful. It is unlawful. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا And to those who were Yahud, we prohibited every animal of uncloven hoof, and of the cattle and the sheep, we prohibited to them their fat, except what adheres to their backs, or the entrails, or what is joined with the bone. Why? Why were these things forbidden on the Yahud? By that we repaid them for their injustice. And indeed, we are truthful. Allah is telling us the truth over here. That when these good things were made unlawful to them, what was the reason? This was punishment for their own wrongdoing. What was the wrong that they committed? Umar radiallahu anhu, he was once informed that a man sold alcohol. Right? Why did he sell it? He thought, you know, I can't consume it myself. Right? So I should just sell it. I should make money out of it. So he sold it. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, may Allah curse him. Doesn't he know that Allah's Messenger said, may Allah curse the Yahud, for Allah had forbidden them to eat the fat of animals, but they melted it and sold it. They melted it and sold it. So something that was haram for consumption, yes, they didn't put it in their mouth, but they came up with other ways of consuming it. This was their sin. Cheating, playing around with the law of Allah, altering the law of Allah, changing the law of Allah. And this is why they were severely punished. You see, the person who has the fear of Allah in his heart, then haram, even if it is being given for free, he will never take it. He will never take it. Because sometimes what happens, playing the lottery for instance, it seems so attractive. Like, oh, just pay, just give a dollar. You never know. You might become a millionaire. And when you become a millionaire, you can pay off your house, you can go do Hajj, you can go travel around the world, you can help all your friends, right? You can do so much good. Because it's so much money. But think of it. It is haram money. It is haram money. Gambling is what? What is it? Is it lawful or unlawful? It is unlawful. So the person who has the fear of Allah, he will not find even the lottery attractive. Even though they say, play here. Huh? Play here. They say play. Play is what? Fun. Recently I was at a gas station and it said play here. And my son read it, because he can read now. He said play here. There's a play place here. I'm like, no, you can't play here. They're saying, come play a game which is not right. So I explained to him what it was. Right? But it's so attractive. And then what happens, even within Muslims, if we find out that somebody won the lottery, then what do we say to them? Please make sure you give me some money of it. We do that. It is haram money. The one who fears Allah, he does not like haram money, even if it is being given to him for free. The Prophet ﷺ, this is before prophethood. Okay, he was in Makkah. And he was with a man whose name was Zayd ibn Amr. Alright? And Zayd ibn Amr, he was one of those people who used to heavily criticize shirk and the practices of the mushrikeen. So what happened? That somebody brought some food to the Prophet ﷺ, and that food, it was haram food. It had been dedicated to idols. So the Prophet ﷺ, he refused to eat it. So then, they presented it to Zayd bin Amr. And he said, I do not eat anything which you slaughter in the name of your idols. I eat none but those things on which Allah's name has been mentioned at the time of slaughtering. So likewise, if somebody offers us haram money, haram food, even for free, what should we do? Free. Take it. It's attractive. No. It doesn't look attractive to the heart that has iman. فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ So if they deny you, then O Prophet ﷺ, say to them, your Lord is the possessor of vast mercy, but His punishment cannot be repelled from the people who are criminals. Those who associated with Allah will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have associated anything, and neither would our forefathers, nor would we have prohibited anything. So, if we have made all these changes in the religion, it's because of who? Allah. He let us do it. If He let us do it, that means it's good for us. So easy to do this. And so many people do this today also. The wrong they do, they say, Allah let me do it. Allah let me do it. If He let me do it, if He's given me this liberty, this freedom, then it's all good. No. He has allowed you to do it because He's testing you over here what you're going to do. This is just like you're writing an exam, all right, and your teacher is standing at your head, watching what you're writing, and you're writing the wrong answers under her eyes, and she doesn't say anything to you, and when you give it to her, she says, wrong answer, and you say, but I wrote it in front of you. I wrote it in front of you. She says, yeah, of course you wrote it in front of me. But you had the choice at that time. You do what you want to do. What you write what you want to do. You can't put the blame on me. Because if the teacher would tell you what to write each time, if she forces you to write one word and not another, then that is not a test. Then you should not be rewarded for it. Right? You should not be given any grade for it, because you didn't do it with your own effort. So there are many people who blame Allah for the wrong they do. Likewise did those before deny until they tasted our punishment. Say, do you have any knowledge that you can produce for this? You follow not except assumption, and you are not but falsifying. Meaning there is no basis for this claim. Haqq is haqq. It is clear and established. And those who don't want it, they will never accept it, no matter how evident it is. Say, with Allah is the far-reaching argument. If He had willed, He would have guided you all. Say, bring forward your witnesses who will testify that Allah has prohibited this. And if they testify, do not testify with them. Another principle we're being taught over here. That even if the whole world says that something is right, but Allah says it is wrong, should we agree with the whole world? No. If they say it is right, should we say it is right? No. We can say that, look, it's your choice what you do, but I disagree with it. I disagree with it. We have to let that be known. And alhamdulillah, we do have this freedom to choose what we like and what we don't like. We can say, I agree with this and I do not agree with this. I like this and I do not agree with this. I'm not going to stop you because it's your life. You do what you want to do. I can only advise you of what I think. Ultimately, I cannot force you because لا إكراه في الدين. However, we can never say that wrong is right. فَإِن شَهِدُوا فَلَا تَشْهَدْ مَعْهُمْ. If they testify, never testify with them. And do not follow the desires of those who deny our verses and those who do not believe in the hereafter while they equate others with their Lord. So what should we do? Follow the truth, not what the people invent. قُلْ say, تَعَالَوْ come, أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. I will tell you, I will recite to you what your Lord has prohibited to you. Now let's see what Allah has said. Don't just follow the whims, your own whims or people's desires, ever-changing customs. No, follow what Allah has commanded. So what is it that Allah has forbidden? He commands that you do not associate anything with Him. Shirk is haram. It is the greatest sin. And to parents, you must show good treatment. Why? Because disobedience to parents is also unlawful. And do not kill your children out of poverty. Why? Because killing children out of poverty is also unlawful. We will provide for you and them. And do not approach immoralities. Do not approach immoralities. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. What is apparent of them and what is concealed. Wrong is wrong, whether it's done openly or secretly. Whether it's done at a small level or it is done at a very huge level. It is wrong. It is wrong. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. The Prophet ﷺ said that none is more أغيار than Allah. Who is aghyar? The one who has ghira. What is ghira? Ghira is like protectiveness. Alright? Protectiveness. That for example, if you have instructed that something be done, then you want that it should be done. And if it's not done, then you get offended. You get upset. You understand? Some people, they're very chill. Do it, don't do it. I don't mind. But some other people, they're very, very particular. Isn't it? Very particular about details. Have you ever seen that? You write something and they will pick out mistakes like, oh, this is not straight and there's an apostrophe missing here and there's a dot missing here, right? And this word should be like that and not like that. They're very particular. So Allah is the most aghyar. What does it mean by that? The Prophet ﷺ said, and it is because of this that he has prohibited abominable acts, both visible and invisible. Meaning both private and public. Meaning when a person does something wrong, whether privately or publicly, who gets upset? Who gets angry? Who doesn't approve of it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not approve of it at all. Has it ever happened with you that you're maybe listening to something or watching something, all right, on your iPad, and the volume is really high, and somebody says, you know what, I hate this stuff. I cannot tolerate this. You can put your headphones on. I don't want to hear it. Has it ever happened? Maybe you've given the headphones to somebody. Right? That please use these headphones. Don't disturb me. Or what do? You leave them in the living room and you go sit somewhere else. Why? Because you cannot tolerate it. So you say, don't do it in front of me, do it yourself, do it privately. But what do we learn? Allah is most aghyar. So He does not approve of sins being committed, neither secretly, privately, nor publicly, openly. He does not approve of it. So, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed, except by legal right. This has He instructed you, that you may use reason. Because when certain limits have been set for us, doesn't that help us to live more conscious lives? Have you ever noticed that when you go to the grocery store and you're picking something up, you're always reading the ingredients? And what are other people doing? Pick this, pick this, pick this, pick this. And then what happens? You're looking at the ingredients, making sure that it's all halal. You're looking for the kosher symbol or something, right? And then what happens? When you see a whole paragraph of ingredients, you're like, I don't want to put this stuff in my body. I don't want to eat it. So what happens? You end up leaving that which is unhealthy also. Why? Because of the restrictions of halal and haram. Right? So Allah has ordered us all of these not to make our life difficult. Why? Why has Allah told us this is halal, this is haram? What's the reason? So that we may use reason. And do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best until he reaches maturity. The Prophet ﷺ said, he who joins an orphan of Muslim parents in his food and drink until he becomes independent of his help, then Jannah is mandatory for him. For who? For the one who takes care of an orphan without charging a penny. Until that orphan is independent, meaning he can take care of his own needs. Then this person, the Prophet ﷺ said, Jannah is wajib for him. And give full measure and weight in justice. We do not charge any soul except with what within its capacity, with that which is within its capacity. Meaning if genuinely a person errs and he does not realize, then that is a different case. But when he finds out about his error, he stops and he makes up for the loss that he has caused, then Allah will also forgive him. And when you testify, be just, even if it concerns a near relative, and the covenant of Allah fulfill. Which covenant? Which promise of Allah? The promise of Iman that we have made with Allah. Adhere to it. This has He instructed you that you may remember. Remember that fulfilling covenants, fulfilling promises is something that causes, something that brings about success and prosperity. And breaking promises is something that brings loss and failure. The Prophet ﷺ said, no people break promises except that qatl, murder, spreads in those people. Why? Because one violation leads to a greater violation. Isn't that so? One violation leads to another violation which is greater than the previous. So when people break promises, they don't care about each other, then what happens? They don't even care about the life of each other. In another hadith we learn, the people who break promises, then their enemy is made to overcome them. Their enemy is made to overcome them. Because when people break promises with each other, they cannot trust each other. They cannot trust each other, they're not united, they're not together. And when they're not united, they're weak. Then who's stronger over them? Their enemy. And moreover, this is my path, which is straight. So follow it, and do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from His way. This has He instructed you, that you may become righteous. Then we gave Musa the scripture, making complete our favor upon the one who did good, and as a detailed explanation of all things, and as guidance and mercy. These are the qualities of the Torah, of the scripture that Allah revealed. That perhaps in the matter of meeting with their Lord, they would believe. And so those people who work with this end in mind, the Akhirah in mind, then only can they bring about change in their lives. وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And this Qur'an is a book we have revealed, which is blessed, so follow it. Follow it. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Don't just read it and reflect on it and appreciate it and write this book. No. Also follow it. This book has been revealed for what? For practice. Not just recitation. And fear Allah so that you may receive mercy. So whoever wants the mercy of Allah, what should he do? What should he do? Follow the Qur'an. Do we ever find difficulty in our lives? Yes, we do. Then what is it that we need to check? Am I following the Qur'an? We revealed it, lest you say, the scripture was only sent down to two groups before us, meaning the Jews and the Christians, but we were of their study unaware. Or lest you say, if only the scripture had been revealed to us, we would have been better guided than they. So, there has now come to you a clear evidence from your Lord and a guidance and mercy. Then who is more unjust than one who denies the verses of Allah and turns away from them? The book is there, but he doesn't read it. It is read, but he doesn't implement it. We will recompense those who turn away from our verses with the worst of punishment for their having turned away. Turning away from the Qur'an is what? It's a crime. Do they then wait for anything except that the angels should come to them? Or your Lord should come to them? Or that there come some of the signs of your Lord? The day that some of the signs of your Lord will come, no soul will benefit from its faith as long as it had not believed before. Meaning once the major signs appear, major signs of the Day of Judgment, the sun rises from the west, the Dajjal appears and all of that, then there is no iman. There is no tawbah. Or had earned through its faith some good. What does this mean? That if a person claims to have iman, then just claim is not enough. He also has to do something. He has to follow. Claiming is not sufficient. Say, wait, indeed, we also are waiting. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ Indeed, those people who have divided their religion and turned into groups, they have divided into sects. You, O Prophet, are not associated with them in anything. They have nothing to do with their religion. No matter how religious they claim to be, no matter how religious they are thought to be, in reality they have nothing to do with their religion. Their affair is only left to Allah, meaning He will judge them. Because near Him, the only correct religion is which one? It's Islam. So fabricated things are not deen. Even if someone presents them as deen, they're bid'at. Then he will inform them about what they used to do. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا Whoever comes on the Day of Judgment with a good deed will have 10 times the like thereof to his credit. And whoever comes with an evil deed will not be recompensed except the like thereof, and they will not be wronged. So generous is our Lord. So why not do what He has ordered? It's a win-win situation. You do it, and you get so much reward, 10 times. Say, indeed my Lord has guided me to a straight path. إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ People also call to many ways. But the way that Allah calls us to, what is that? The straight path. دِينًا قِيَمًا A correct religion. مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ The way of Ibrahim, inclining toward truth. And he was not among those who associated others with Allah. And what is this religion? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Say, indeed my prayer, my rituals, my living and my dying are all for Allah, Lord of the worlds. This is the essence of our religion. That live for who? For the one who made you. And die also for the one who made you. Pray to the one who made you. And whatever you do, do it for His sake. Because Allah made us and we are for Him. So all of our actions should be performed with this sincerity. What sincerity? That they are done exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, we have to avoid every kind of shirk, every form of shirk. Ibadah should exclusively be for who? For Allah. Salati wa nusuki. And life should be lived also for whose sake? For Allah's sake. And what does that mean? That it should be lived according to Allah's directives, His orders, what He likes. And death should also be according to what He likes. What does it mean by that? That after death also, the rituals related to burial and all, they should all be according to what Allah likes, what He has legislated. La sharika lah, no partner has he. Wa bidhalika umirtu, and this I have been commanded. Wa ana awwalul muslimin, and I am the first among you of the Muslims. The first to obey, the first to surrender, the first to follow the commands of Allah. Because sometimes what happens, we keep waiting for others. When they will do it, I will do it too. But what have we been encouraged to do here? Even if nobody's taking the first step, you take the first step. You be the lead. Because generally what happens, people keep waiting for somebody to come forward and take the first step. Did you hear in the news how 100 people lifted a double-decker bus in London to save a person? You don't know about that? Recently it happened. 100 people, they came together, more than 100, and they lifted up a double-decker bus. Why? To save a man whose leg was trapped under the wheel. And how did it start? By one person rushing out of his car. He stopped his car, ran out, and he saw the man trapped under the bus. And then he's telling the bus driver to stop, and the bus driver is getting confused. What's happening? And then, as more and more people gather, and they're wondering what to do, they're trying to tell the bus driver, stop, stop, do this, do that. He's confused, and the bus is so heavy. This man just grabbed the bus, alright, from under, and he said, 3, 2, 1, and everybody lifted it with him. And they did it multiple times until eventually, they lifted the bus, and somebody pulled that man out. Can you imagine a double-decker bus being lifted by people to save a human being? How? Why did it happen? Somebody had to come forward. When one person did, then what happened? Everybody else followed. He just said, 3, 2, 1, everybody did it. We just keep waiting. When she will wear the hijab, I will also wear it. When she gets up to pray, I will also get up to pray. When she will read the Quran, I will also get up and read the Quran. And especially Fajr. Huh? When my sister wakes up, I'll also wake up. When my husband wakes up, I'll also wake up. Why should I be the first one? You know why? So that you can get more reward. Because the one who starts something good and others follow him, then he gets double reward. So, وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I am the first one. The first to surrender to Allah. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِي رَبًّا. Say, is it other than Allah I should desire as Lord? While He is the Lord of all things, and every soul earns not blame except against itself. And no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, and He will inform you concerning that over which you used to differ. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. And it is He who has made you successors upon the earth and has raised some of you above others in degrees. Everybody's not the same. People have been created differently. They have been given different skills, different strengths, different opportunities. That He may try you through what He has given you. We are being tested by what? By the ability that Allah has given us. Do we benefit from them or not? Indeed, your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed He is forgiving and merciful. And with this, alhamdulillah, we conclude Suratul An'am.